Philippians. Chapter 3. Tom, did you meet Chuck and Diane? Tom just got back from Baghdad. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And remember, we talked extensively. That sounds religious. But it simply means that you have lost the reason to be right. Because, and this is the critical reason, just as Christ was manifest in the flesh, but he was never justified in the flesh. He was manifest in the flesh, but justified in the Spirit. Your whole life, you have made innumerable unconscious moves towards being justified in the flesh, because if you weren't justified in the flesh, then you would have no worth. So whether the justification in the flesh is athletic ability or grades or looks or performance or job, whatever it is, you had to define a way in which you justified yourself, and you always did it by this establishing your rightness.
I mean, it's like a justification for your existence.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I mean, justification for spiritually didn't even enter your comprehension. But think of it. Think of you as going from the child to the adult. Well, some of you haven't reached it yet, but you spent an inordinate amount of time finding ways that you could be, your existence could be justified in the flesh. Now, unfortunately, modern religion makes that as a credo, that you are justified in the flesh because you can be successful, and we can have, you know, Michael Irvin or somebody become a Christian, and Deion Sanders. Remember when I just love it when who's the other football player that Emmett Smith and Deion Sanders were baptized, and this is when I first started questioning Brother Jakes. He sent out a press release for the baptism of. Now, there's something wrong with that. And just as you've seen 1,000 times about celebrities becoming believers and then going on television, and it's to justify your existence as a believer in the flesh. And that can't be done. Because in doing so, you violate who Christ is. He was manifest in the flesh, which is unbelievably important, but he was justified only in the Spirit. He did nothing that the world thought he should do except heal a few people. And he only healed those people, he healed them so he could give that talent up. He raised people from the dead so he could give that up. So, because remember, you cannot be tested by which you don't know that you possess. And so the testing is always along the lines of a testing of an inherent ability or function by an alien power. I mean, or an alien existence. So the test is always, and he never satisfied that. Now, you have spent an entire lifetime justifying your existence. You know, I can use Gary. I'll pick on Gary for a change. Gary was a 97-pound weakling. Probably he was 87-pound weakling. And he was picked on. And so what he did, and it was admirable from everybody's standards, he worked out and worked and worked and worked and lifted weights and became a world-class athlete and a gymnast. But it was meaningless because you were justifying yourself in the flesh. And it was all necessary in order for you to come to the end of it. But what have each one of you done? That's the question. What have you done to justify yourself in the flesh? What you've done in the past is meaningless. What you are doing to justify yourself in the flesh today is to establish your own rightness, which is the antithesis of a disciple. Now, this again, these are the things that define you as a believer. Now, if you're trying to be defined by justifying your existence, even by a calling or a function or a purpose, then you've missed the point. You're doing this self-redemption. Am I communicating to anyone?
This reminds me of the predicament of the monkey with his hand in the monkey trap. You can't get out of the trap until you let go of the banana. You can't have peace until you let go. This is the stumbling block.
Well, again, it's... And I be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or rightness. Never again concerned with justifying yourself, even to the closest people around you. Now, and that's why you do this. We do this thing where the exhortation and the revelation comes, and the tests come along the line of being. You know, that's why the wife is called the companion antagonist. That's what helpmeet means. And there's no one that will cause you more to justify yourself in the flesh than a husband or a wife. Now, that's you're not called to be a believer so you can justify yourself better, or you can use the scriptures as a weapon, like. I said I wasn't going to pick on Gary anymore, but like Gary used to use the scriptures as a weapon to try to get Judy to submit to him.
How'd it work out for
him? But you were trying to justify yourself in the flesh by using the scriptures, which is like, that's as far bad as you can get.
This is big because this speaks to all the churches who, and I know us too, who try to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Right, and that's what happened. And again, not to pick on Gary, but watch. Gary's going to get an email from Scott saying, "I never ever pick on John."
Right. Or anybody else.
But again. When you think this place is special, we're not special for any reason. But if you think this place is special, then you are trying to justify yourself in the flesh. You can't do it. And again, you're justifying yourself in the flesh by trying to be right. This is critical.
I'm proud because I had the whiffets to figure out that this was the right place to be. You know, and that's what I'm thinking. So it's like, okay, I'm at least I've had enough, you know, intelligence and spiritual acuity to determine that, you know, I need to, you know, be here under this particular teaching because,
right.
You know, that's the...
Who better to be a member of Trinity Foundation?
How would the king choose to honor?
But can you see that's trying to establish your own rightness? And the basis here and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, or rightness, which is of the law. Now, it's not of the law. It's of the law, but it doesn't mean here just this law. It means it's the nomos, the way a thing works. And everything in the universe and the natural world is, the whole process is justifying itself and its reason for existence. That's what corporations do. That's what cities do. That's what that sports teams do. That's what high school, I mean, everybody does it. And we can't, because our righteousness is in him. We have no more interest in establishing our own rightness, because if we do, then we make his rightness of none effect. Now, this should cut across some of you all the way to the bone. Another airy guy. You justify yourself by your work. And your peace is dependent on whether the work works out the way you think it should. It can't be done. Because then you make his sacrifice of none effect. This is why a believer is a sign and a wonder in every society. But you're not a sign and a wonder of anything except being an idiot if you try to justify yourself or be right in the world. There's nothing but silence in the room. I thought there would be some confession and brokenness and say, oh my God, that's what I've been doing all these years.
Is it the right thing to do, right?
That's pretty good, Kevin. That's a keeper. I'm not going to tell you.
I saw this thing on Victor Neal, who used to be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles or something, and it was about his whole life, you know. And I was at the spot working out, and there it was, you know, up there, this field. And it was about his dad really came down on him, all, you know, when he was a kid, you know, because he was a coach too, his dad, you know, and everything. It was like, so he had this huge thing to succeed, to justify himself in some way, like you're talking about. And so he did this, and, you know, he worked and worked and worked, you know, took, you know.
Is this going to take a long time?
Yeah, a little bit. And he got to the point where, you know, he went to the Super Bowl and lost, and everything just started unraveling. One day he drove up to his, you know, in the parking lot, and he was immobilized. He couldn't get out of the car, you know, and he was having a nervous breakdown. And he had to leave coaching, and, you know, because he was at the point where he was, like, watching films of his family because he didn't have time to go home to interact with them and stuff. It was just, like, the worst, craziest, you know, kind of example of the things that we do, but taken out to this extreme and public kind of, it was sort of a sign and wonder. It was to me. Anyway.
Amen.
And I wonder what other people thought about it.
No, that's perfect.
It's wild.
It happened for me when I lost the election, when I ran for the legislature. You know, to me, I thought it was a sure thing I was going to win. And I lost. And it did something to me that was, you know, real deep. In the same way. Now, and that, you know, that's why, you know, you've got to know you've got to know by experience that you can't justify yourself. Not just you shouldn't. This is what it means to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, because when you find out that the slightest instant of justifying yourself or being right about something is crucifying the Son of God afresh. I mean, that's the fear and trembling that my God, I made his sacrifice meaningless because of my own stupid little psychobabble trip. I pray that this sinks in to some level so that, because it, 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 when you lose the need to be right, it's the true meaning of freedom. And starting, if you're married, start in your marriage. Lose the need to be right. And I promise you that all the truces will become true forgiveness. And truces will disappear, and you'll find His love. But, and it's true, that's why every one of the feasts, you know, if you have aught against somebody, well, by definition, a truce is having aught, because you still think you're right, but you, in order to have peace in the family, you're not going to talk about that. What are the number of things that you've agreed not to talk about in your world? Well, every one of those is simply you trying to be silently right. So you're still establishing your own rightness, and you've made His righteousness of none effect. Is this really hitting you?
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, most of us came here because of some huge thing that happened in our lives, and I was thinking that, you know, one of the reasons I heard this is because I knew that I couldn't get it right. You know, the Baptist thing was not, it wasn't gonna get me there, you know.
No offense to our Baptist.
But, you know, what happens is, you know, there's a huge failure, but then you just make, you know, narrow the tent here so that you get right in the little minutia of daily activities, and it's still an abomination.
Amen.
You've got to throw everything out the window and not get any righteousness from any activity. It's pointless, you know.
Well, it's worse than pointless. That's the point. We can maybe recognize now that it was pointless. But now I want you to recognize that it's death, because it makes His sacrifice of none effect.
This is what Paul, I think, was talking about when he said something about, if I build again those things which have been destroyed, or I've destroyed, or something. The idea of recreating that stuff. Okay, so now you're down to a little, you live in a cardboard box, but in that cardboard box, everything's going to be lined up. Just the same thing in a smaller venue.
It's the, you know, obsessive compulsive, where I'm going to touch something until I got it attached to just right, or its position just right, or.
But what I mean, it, and this isn't the place to do it, but in the Bible studies, I want you to, I mean, start confessing where you see this. You see the infinite number of ways that you've had to be right. Or even, you know, trying, or the infinite number of places where you've had a truce because you still believe you're right, but you decided the truce is necessary in order to either go to a feast or have peace in your family or something. And the truces are evil. Okay, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, not in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now I promise you, if you go through the process of removing your own rightness and your own ways of justifying yourself in the flesh, then you will experience these issues. You will know Him and the fellowship of His suffering, because you will be made conformable to His death. Instead of all of these little deals you're going in your mind. Now, it's critical here. This isn't knowing mean this, that I may know Him. The word has nothing to do with that I may know about Him. That's just some form of Gnosticism. but it's that you experientially, that the word is mixed with flesh. Remember that prayer. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. So it's this epignosis, it's being the thing instead of, and he, as long as you're trying to do anything, then he can't be. Now let's go to Galatians 1. Just take a left. First chapter of Galatians. Verse 8 or 9. Wait a minute. Yeah, 8 is good. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed, accursed, anathema. And as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So first he said it was preached, but that's preaching is just to act as the witness to what you'd already received. The reception, the receiving of it, happened in Pentecost. And so the only thing that preaching can do is be a witness to that. Now, and this, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I promise you, every attempt that you make to be right, you're pleasing yourself. You're pleasing self-realization so that you can justify your existence. Because, face it, existentially, the pitiful attempts that the human being makes to justify his existence are shown to be a lie. That is death. You know, all of Harry's lists and sticky notes will be meaningless. Even the ones, the list, the number 52 on the list was brush my teeth. None of you would have any internal lists like that, would you?
No, of course not. Just wait till once interrupted. You'll find out.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, nobody taught me. Nobody can teach you. You got to see this. I can't teach you squat. I can't teach you anything but heresy. The only thing I can cause you to do is to repent by making fun of everything else or showing the futility of everything else. So there's no one that can teach you anything about the kingdom of God. They can only show you what it isn't. That's why the John the Baptist's eternal words were bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's all we can do. That's all the media can do. That's all we can do. That's all anybody can do is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Not, oh, here, come to Jesus and you'll be happy and blessed and rich and healed and... That's just horseshit. But I'm not worried about them. You're the ones that need to see the dung of it, or the horse dung of it. Now watch. If For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversion, my manner of life or conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, what we do with this mystery, we think, well, that was Paul because he was special. No, he wasn't special. There's nothing special about Paul. Except he saw the end of his own stupidity. And I promise you, there's nothing that anybody can teach you about God or about Jesus Christ. The anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. And the anointing isn't something separate. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in you. And that's what it means to know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But it comes only at the cost of knowing the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. So never again the need to be right. Never again the slightest psychobabble trick to justify yourself to anyone. And if you're aware of this, just watch, and you'll see something. You'll see an interesting thing, that almost all of lip and life is concerned with justifying yourself.
I can't stop thinking about the parable of the adult, or the, who was asking,
Oh, you mean the where they laid the...
Yeah, that one. Oh, there's no communication between them.
You can't. You can't get there from here.
They're so separate, there is nothing in between the two. And this side is all flesh doing its thing, justifying, finding a way to prove it's okay. And then the other side is the kingdom of God.
And they can't touch each other. And that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because the preaching of the cross shows you your own stupidity. That's all it does. Yeah. The emptiness.
Paul, who was the best, they used the most religious, zealous man to show that you can't get any better than this, and that was close.
Right. But forget the religious part of it for a minute. I want you to look at the little tricks of life that you use to be right.
Last Friday at lunch, my mom asked me, well, why did you like Howard Stern? I said, well, he's spontaneous for one thing. And I thought of more words. He's, honest.
I think Howard Stern is one of the best preachers in the country.
But I knew she didn't like Howard Stern, so I couldn't stop at one word. I had to add about four more.
No matter how disgusting he is, he's probably not as disgusting as I am anyway. I mean, in our little world, but what?
I was just thinking why you would speak so highly of Howard Stern. It makes perfect sense. You are in your world as he is in his.
XM call, I forget to tell
you. Right now. What did you say? It's not a slam.
Yeah. Right.
I personally am really not all that impressed with
you. I didn't figure you would be.
Thank you.
But he certainly shows forth the futility and emptiness of life. Anybody have any other response?
Just that this should probably free up a lot of time that used for other pursuits.
Like
it's
We watched an incredible film last night, part of which was shot about three blocks from here. It's called A Beautiful Country. And it's about a half-breed child in Vietnam. And at the beginning of the movie, it gives this Vietnamese word, and the meaning is less than dust. It's a being that doesn't even have a right to exist, which is what this child is, because he's half American, half Vietnamese. He belongs to no one. He's an outcast. And it follows him through this incredible odyssey where he ends up in West Texas. And the only kindness that is ever shown to him is by people who are outcasts and losers and just, you know, the most hopeless of people are the only ones that show him any kindness whatsoever. And at the end, there's this incredible redemption where he finds the place for him, and he becomes the servant to his father, who is even more of an outcast than he is, a totally worthless human being, and he serves him.
You should watch this movie if you get a chance.
Well, it's what you're saying. It's what we're talking
about. In 1956, 57... in Korea, the GIs had left, and there was half-breed orphans all over Korea. And the same thing. It was there's another Korean word I don't remember, but that they were the half-breeds were less than human beings, and so a group of us started an orphanage that. Not because I had no interest, but I was afraid one of them might have been mine. So a group of us started an orphanage with the help of the embassy.
But there's no chance for rightness after the flesh for them. They know that.
Yeah, they can't. That's why most of them came to America. Because it's. But it just shows. I mean, it's this idiocy of racism is. You know, and my family is the biggest racist in terms of not just about blacks or anything, but about
Swedes.
Anybody except an Aryan. And it's just contemptible. But it's no more contemptible than what we do and how we dismiss the illegal aliens, so-called illegal aliens of the Mexican workers here. I mean, it's we have, in our own way, made them the untouchables. And everything about our response and relationship to them is utilitarian. I mean, and that's why what I like what Pete's doing with regard to teaching the English, because, you know, we become friends. I see him two or three times a week, and it's not a... they're not a cliche. But we tend to create this the justification thing. We justify, and so if somebody doesn't meet the standards of that justification, they're dismissed.
Which neatly explains the crucifixion.
Yeah, remember the questions. I mean, you know, they would have loved him. He saved others. And they were mocking him. He saved others. He can't save himself. Look at that hopeless little piece of crap. That's what they were saying about the Son of God. But that's what we are saying about the Son of God when we dismiss somebody as utilitarian, because we are not seeing that mystery of Christ in that person. Anyway. Take a big guy. I'm tired of talking. Unless somebody else.
I would just like people to pray for Shannon. She's not sounding good.
Oh, that same.
Yeah.
Boy. I certainly will. All right, take a big guy.